Two things before I actually get into the sermon today. Number one, I've had a couple of people ask me, well, look at him. He's got his Christmas tie on again. It says peace on earth, and it's got the Madonna and child on it. I'm of the opinion that we need peace on earth all year, not just celebrated at Christmas time. We need to be thinking about it, and we especially need to be thinking about it with what happened in Charlottesville yesterday. I would be amiss if I did not say anything about that. My heart is broken for what happened in Charlottesville yesterday. If you are not aware of what happened in Charlottesville, there was an alt-right group there to protest the taking down of the Civil War monument of Robert E. Lee in the town park that the city has already decided to take down. And there were groups of ministers and other groups that were there to protest the people that were protesting. And things became violent at one point, and at least one person died, and many, at least 19 was the last I heard, were hurt. And then later that afternoon, some of the state police who were there were flying the state helicopter away, and that helicopter crashed and killed both individuals that were in the helicopter. So not as a direct result, but they were there to help cover for what was going on. Spent some time with my Sunday school class this morning talking about how could we do something different than what was done yesterday. Do we have a way? And as I looked on Facebook last night and this morning, I know of a number of ministers that changed their plans for what they were going to preach on today because of the situation that happened in Charlottesville. I'm not going to change what I had planned because I believe that what I have had planned that I picked out 4 months ago speaks to the situation directly. So there may be from Thursday and Friday when I last thought about this, there will be some changes in what I say, but I believe that God's word speaks directly to the situation that's going on. And I think that we need to find that peace in the midst of God's word wherever we're reading to bring to the current situations. In the Sunday school class, we talked about Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4 in particular, where it talks about that we should be more concerned about others' needs than our own. And it's quite obvious to me that some of those in Charlottesville yesterday have great needs. And for me, instead of approaching them and telling them they can't speak up, I need to sit down and have a dialogue with them and find out what their needs are so that I can help them. Deanne asked me last night at supper, she said, so what do you think about this situation? I'm glad she's my wife because that was a loaded question. And we talked about it some last night. And I've thought about it some during the night, and I've thought about it some this morning. I really think we need to hear people's stories. You see, I have the greatest story to tell. I have the greatest story to tell about Jesus Christ and about what Jesus Christ can do for your life and for other people's lives. I have a great story to tell, and it works through this sermon today. I have a great story to tell you about what God can do in your life. If there's one thing I've learned in my 55 years, if I don't listen to your story first, you're probably not going to listen to mine. If I already decide that your story is wrong and I will not listen to it, then you're going to decide the same thing about my story. And that's why I think one of the things that needs to happen is dialogue. Not confrontation. not protest, but dialogue. I need to sit down and listen to your story first, to these people's story that were in Charlottesville yesterday. That doesn't mean I have to agree with their story. That doesn't mean I have to validate their story. But I do have to listen. And I mean truly listen. Not let them talk and try to figure out what my answer is going to be when they take a breath. That's not listening. I need to listen first. And I think if I give them an ear and reflect back to them what I hear them say, I think they might give an ear to the story I have. That's the greatest story we can ever tell. We live in a country where we say people are allowed to tell their story. And that's changing some. We're telling people you're allowed to tell your story as long as it doesn't offend anybody. That's what we're starting to tell people. You can tell your story as long as it doesn't offend anyone. The story of Jesus Christ and salvation through God has always offended people. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to buy into not letting people tell their story. If it offends me, I'll deal with that. Tell me your story. Tell me your hurt. Tell me your pain. Tell me what you have been through that has made things so uncomfortable for you. Let me hear it. Speak about it first. Let me see if I understand your story. Would you give me 5 minutes to tell my story? You see, I think that's a better way to approach things. At least I know I might have a chance to tell my story then about what's the greatest thing that God's ever done for me and how God has changed my life so drastically. The person that I was in 1980 and 1981 would never have had a chance to even talk to the search committee when you were looking for a new pastor. Never had a chance. You can talk to my wife, Deanne, if you'd like. She didn't marry a minister. She married something completely different. And you see, I want to be able to tell my story. I want to be able to let people know this is what God's done in my life. This is how God has changed me. So I choose to listen first. I'm not going to shut people up. And if your story or the person's story offends me, I told people in a previous congregation that I served, if I had the opportunity, I would have sat down with Osama bin Laden and talked with him about Jesus Christ. Would it have cost me my life? Most likely. But you know what? He was a human that was created by God, that God loved. And as a Christian, it's my duty to make sure he hears the story about that. It's my duty to make sure that everybody hears the story about that. It doesn't matter whether they belong to ISIS or something else. It doesn't matter if they hate me. You see, folks, all of Scripture speaks about this. Listen to these words from Psalm 85. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This is a powerful section of Scripture. A very, very powerful section of Scripture. You see, the first thing the psalmist does here is he tells that God has done incredible works before for us. We need to remember them. God has done incredible works before for us, and we need to remember them. Gosh, I remember crawling in what I would consider some of the lowest places in life. And God came to me and said, I love you. I care for you. I pick you up. I walk with you. I help you. I encourage you. Come on. I need to go back and remember those things. I need to remember the incredible things that God has done. That's what I need to remember. I need to rehearse them over and over again and talk about the incredible things. My faith family is the faith family of the Old Testament. Paul says in his writings that I have been grafted into the Jewish family. I'm Jewish now. You know that because I don't eat pork, right? Those that are guests here... I'm allergic to pork, so I can't eat pork. But I often have people at places when I don't eat it, at church functions when I don't eat it, ask me, is that against your religion? And I just look at them and say, yes. You see, I'm part of that faith family now. Abraham is my father. Isaac and Jacob and Israel, they are all my fathers. I walk in the ways of Daniel. I walk in the ways of Jonah. I walk in the ways of all the prophets. They're my family. And if you read through, especially the Old Testament, you will see again and again, they're always talking about what God has done for them. Not the horrible things that happened to them, but how God has lifted them up, how God has helped them, how God has encouraged them. Has God done wonderful things for you? Has God done wonderful things for this church? Don't we need to talk about them? Don't we need to lift our voices about what God has done? But then look, we know that we're in a desperate situation at times, aren't we, in this world now? We need to call out to God expecting for restoration to happen again. We need to call out to God expecting restoration to happen again. And you know what? It will. If that's what we're calling out for, and that's what we're looking for, restoration will happen again. Are we calling out for it? Are we expecting it to happen? Are we standing in the places where God might ask us to stand so that restoration will happen? It might mean that I have to stand in some places I don't want to. It might mean I have to talk with some folks that I'd rather not hear their opinion, by the way. God may be asking me to step in those places. Am I calling for that restoration? Am I asking for that restoration to happen? Am I looking for how it is happening? The psalmist tells us this in the psalm. If we're looking for restoration and we're calling for God to bring it about, if we listen, if we will listen to God, the peace God promises will inhabit us and be seen by others. The peace that God promises us will inhabit us and will be seen by others. You ever met anybody? Did you just walk up to them and you know, I bet they never have a bad day. You ever met anybody like that? I bet they never have a bad day. Everything's always up. Everything's always exciting for them. It doesn't matter. You see, if we're looking for God to make that restoration and we're calling out for it to happen, this psalmist tells us, then peace will inhabit us in such a way that other people will see it. I've told you more than once. What brought me to Jesus Christ? Three other college students at Virginia Tech. And what was the most that made me pay attention to them? It was this peace that was part of their life. I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. They have got something I don't have, and I want to find out how to get it. You see, it just oozed out of them. It just came out of them everywhere they went. And as I walked around behind them, I got to splash in the puddles of that peace. And little by little, it got me more and more wet. And little by little, I come to understand that that peace came from God. And I said, that's what I want. That's what I want to experience in my life every day. That's what I want. What these three guys have. So I'll tell you a little piece of my embarrassing story. I remember my grandfather telling me an incredibly embarrassing story one time, and I just looked at him and said, Grandpa, I don't think I'd tell everybody else that story. In a little nutshell, his story was he got to hear Mussolini speak. He took 4 years of Italian in the Naval Academy. He didn't understand a single word that Mussolini said. And he told the guy sitting next to him. And the guy leaned over to my grandfather and said, Ronald, he was speaking English the whole time. And I just looked at my grandpa and said, I don't think I'd tell anybody else that story. You see, these guys had so much peace, and it just flowed out of them. And I did some research. I'm a detective, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Okay, I'm a detective. I'm going to search into things. I'm going to look into things. I can research things to the hilt. And I found out what was happening with these guys. These guys went to church every week. They must be getting peace there. So I'm going to surprise them and show up at church. In the only three-piece suit that I had, which I don't have, by the way, anymore, but I do have the tie. Maybe I should have wore that tie today. And long blonde hair that day. And I showed up in a college student's casual church service. There wasn't anybody else that even had a tie on. They never let me live that down. But you know what? I found out where they found out about peace. And it wasn't long after that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So if we will listen to God, The peace that God promises will inhabit us and will be seen by others. Isn't that what you want? Gosh, when it just oozes out of you, it attracts people. If you make puddles as you walk, I'm sorry, if you make puddles as you walk, somebody's going to step in them and get wet. And it might just be me. Did something the other night, or last night, my wife said, "You're just a little kid." And I said, "Yep, and that's why you love me so much. Give me a puddle, I'm going to splash in it. I'm such a little kid that even my children say, Dad, stop. You're not 20 anymore." Then God's glory is going to exist through us. I want you to notice the great benefits that are found in verses 10 through 13. I'm going to read them to you again because it's just incredible, these benefits that are found here. It's incredible what happens when we remember what God has done for us. It's incredible when we expect God to supply restoration again and that peace comes within us. And look at what happens. This is what oozes out of us, by the way. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. How does that sound for you for a world to live in? Righteousness and peace kiss each other. How does that sound as a world to live in? Folks, if you'll follow God's way, if you'll follow what God's calling you to do, if you'll follow to live the way that Jesus showed folks how it is possible to live in this world in kingdom ways, all of that's going to happen. All of that is promised to happen. So today I'm going to leave you with this question in the midst of the world as we find it. Are you fully expecting God's glory to shine through you for others to see? Are you fully expecting God's glory to shine through you for others to see? That's the call from this psalm. To let the very salvation of God shine through you in a way. Connecting that with the story of yesterday's news. Sometimes maybe I need to sit down and listen to their story first. To allow them to be heard so that then I can tell them my story. Because we've got the greatest story there is. And this world really, really needs it. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, acknowledging that sometimes we attempt to do the world's ways for straightening things out. And over again, we can see the result of what happens then. And yet we still try to do it that way. So Lord, teach us. Teach us that we can allow your grace, that we can allow your glory into our lives, and that as it flows out of us, that we might leave places wet for people to step in, for people to splash in, for people to be drawn to. that incredible living water that you want to give us. That living water that will speak to all the hurts of this world. Lord, may your glory inhabit us fully. And may your peace and glory flow out from us that it might attract other people to Jesus Christ. His name that we pray. Amen.